Okay, this is 1.12. Tasya Sanjanayan Harsha, Kuru Vridha Pitamaha, Simhanadam Vinadyoche, Sankham Daddo, Pratapa Van. Yes. This is what we saw. Yes, we did this. तदेवं बहुमानयुक्तं राज्ञः दुर्योधनस्य वाक्यं श्रुत्वा भीष्मः किं कृतवान् तदाह हियरिंग दीज वर्ड्स ऑफ हाई एस्टीम ऑफ किंग दुर्योधन व्हाट डिड भीष्म डू इट इज बीइंग स्टेटेड हियर तस्य राज्ञः हर्षं संजनयन् कुर्वन् पितामह भीष्मः उच्चैर् महान्तं सिंहनादं कृत्वा शंखं दद्मो वादितवान् ग्लैडनिंग हिस meaning the king's heart. The grandsire, meaning Bhishma, thundered forth the lion's roar and blew, meaning sounded, his conch. Okay. Taddevam senapater Bhishmasya yuddhotsavam. Yuddhotsavam alakshya. What is this? Sarvato yuddhotsavah pravrittah ityaha. Then seeing Commander Bhishma's eagerness to fight, on all sides there was eagerness for battle. To describe it, the text now says the next text.
Prabhupada writes something like this, to seeing Bhishma's eagerness.
Yeah.
He speaks in terms of eagerness.
Yudhotsavam.
That's his Chittaswami's commentary, right? I think Prabhupada used the expression eagerness.
Prabhupada doesn't use that expression. For them, it's, but Prabhupada does say that the fights were like sportive events. See, previously, their fighting was like sportive events. They were very eager to, like nowadays, they go for tournaments like that they used to go for war. Panavaha, Anakaha, Gomukaha, Cha, Vadya Visheshaha, Sahasa Eva, Tatkshanam Eva, Abhya Hanyanta, Vaditaha, Sahacha, Shankadi Shabdaha, Tumulaha, Mahan Abhavat. Trumpets, drums and horns, different kinds of musical instruments blared forth all of a sudden, meaning were sounded at that very moment. And that sound of the conches, etc. was tumultuous, uproarious. Tatah Pandava Sainya Pravrittam Yuddhotsavam Aha Tatah Iti Panchabhihi. Now the eagerness for battle manifest in the Pandava army is being related in the five verses beginning with Tatah Shvetair. Tatah Kaurava Sainya Vadya Kolahala Anantaram Syandane Rathe Stitau Santau Shri Krishna Arjunau Divyau Shankau Prakarshena Dadhmatuhu Vadayam Asatuhu. Then after that tumultuous noise created by the musical instruments of the Kaurava army, Krishna and Arjuna seated in a chariot blew their celestial conches forcibly. Taddeva vibhagena darshayannaha.
What do you mean forcibly means what? With great force?
Yeah, with great force.
Forcibly here refers to as?
Vadayama, so that's all. They, very powerfully they blew. Taddeva vibhagena darshayannaha. Now it is being shown who blew which. पाचजन्यादीनि श्रीकृष्णादि शङ्खानां नामानि भीमं घोरं कर्म यस्य सः वृकवत् उदरं यस्य सः वृकोदरः महाशङ्खं पौण्ड्रं दध्मौ इति पाञ्चजन्य एंड सो ऑन आर द नेम्स ऑफ द कॉन्शियस ऑफ श्रीकृष्ण एंड सो ऑन ऑफ टेरिबल डीड्स मीन्स वन हूज डीड्स वेर टेरिबल दिस इज द डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ भीमकर्म देन वृकोदर means one who had a voracious stomach like a wolf. This is also Bhima. Blew the mighty conch, Poundra.
See, what I'm wondering is, okay, this Bhagavad Gita is supposed to be an introduction, okay? For the Western audience, you can just summarize it in terms of an essay, right? This is the first chapter. Okay? Start with the Krishna instruction. Can't do that.
Why?
Just asking for the sake of clarity for the Western audience.
You write
present everything. I'm not saying to omit something, but present the whole...
No, it depends. If the entire book is going to be just a series of essays on Bhagavad Gita, that's what you have to do. But if you're going to present the Sanskrit text of Bhagavad Gita, you cannot snip off the first chapter.
Okay. This is just for the Western audience, for the comprehension. First,
whatever it may be, whatever it may be.
Not for scholarly.
So what, if the text is there, so what is the problem? It depends what you are going to do with the, when Krishna starts speaking, what you will do.
You'll put, not say exactly.
You will put the Sanskrit text.
Yeah.
Huh? So then you have to put the text before also. You can just put part 1, introduction. Part 2, Bhagavad Gita. I mean, Krishna's instructions.
Yeah.
But in part 1 also you should have the shlokas.
It could be like an appendix.
What?
Like how we put it on paper. Sanskrit, put the Sanskrit, that's it.
That is, you know, if you are writing essays on Bhagavad Gita.
Only first chapter can be written as an essay, no. See, Prabhu, what I'm trying to say is, look at the list of these things. So, if you're presenting as it is, you're not changing anything. Just giving it to the...
But what is wrong with simply giving a translation in the first place?
I know, but we people know who's who, no.
You don't have to go into the commentarial details of the first chapter. Simply present all the shlokas together and all the translation right at the beginning of the first chapter.
I know, but for a Western audience, they don't even know so many names. It can be very confusing, no?
Why? No.
Why not?
Why? People who are interested in spirituality are naturally interested in all these things.
I know, but see, for an Indian audience, we know everything, right? Who's who? I'm not talking, it's not philosophy here, no, it's about the story.
So what, let the story remain as it is.
I'm not saying the story should not remain as it is. But just present the whole thing without missing any detail. Present everything in the form of an essay.
That is a translation, you can put all the entire translation in a few paragraphs.
Yeah.
You can put the entire, first of all you can put the shlokas in Devanagari.
No, we can say like for example, this is the scene. The first 5 verses, Krishna, this is what happens and represent it. And then the next 5 verses, this is what happens. Then you say this to Ultra, this is the, whatever.
You can put all the details in footnotes. So those who are interested will read the footnote. Those who are not interested will omit the footnotes.
Yeah.
In the footnotes you can have the shloka and the meaning.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's it.
In fact, you could do that for the entire Gita. Saves a lot of trouble.
For Western audience.
What Western audience have some horns in their head and what? The no. Same people. People interested in spirituality are interested in spirituality with all cultural details.
And I'm not saying only
look at people.
Okay.
Yeah, so what? You know, just like people interested in Buddhism. They read Ashwagosha's Buddha Charita. They're reading all the everything they're reading. What is it? They don't omit it. That is only a peculiar...
Not omit, bro. What I'm trying to say is this.
It doesn't disorient these people because they're very interested in all related cultural details.
That's fine. I'm not saying you omit the cultural details. I'm just saying, for example, let's say, let's talk about just a general audience, including me. Just take
see,
a...
SMS
I'm
Chari,
in college, okay?
SMS Chari has written a book called The Philosophy of Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
What is he trying to do? He's basically trying to show the Shankaracharya's and modern interpretations are wrong and that Ramanujacharya's explanation is the most suited.
Okay.
So, how does he do it? First of all, he gives some overview. Okay. Then afterwards, he goes theme by theme. What does the Bhagavad Gita teach about Ishvara? What does the Bhagavad Gita teach about the living entities? What does Bhagavad Gita teach about Prakriti, what does Bhagavad Gita teach about sadhana, what does Bhagavad Gita teach about the goal? Okay. So, there it's thematic.
What I'm saying is, first chapter, you present the whole summary, end of it you give the transcript text and translations, what's the big deal?
That's all right.
That's fine, that's what I'm saying. So
but that you can do for every chapter.
Yeah, that's also fine.
For every chapter,
okay.
First of all you can provide an analysis.
Okay.
And the first section should be an analysis, second section should be the shloka and translation.
I think we don't know.
Yeah.
Then at least the audience will not get stuck with names. First of all, we should present properly. These are all the people involved and this is what the first chapter.
Otherwise, the Western style is all these are actually done in the first part of the book. In the second part of the book, they provide all these textual, they put the text itself. There's another way of doing it. For some reason, the West, they do like that. They present a so-called introduction. That introduction is very huge. Usually it's one-third of the book itself.
Okay.
There they go into whatever they have in their head, they put it into that. That is what they call introduction. Then afterwards they give the text and the translation. Then they give footnotes, endnotes, this thing, that thing. Two-thirds of the book is that. One-third of the book is their detailed introduction.
No, I'm not talking like, for example, it should be detailed analysis of the first second chapter also. It needs to be there. How the text speak like this. Whatever, actually proper analysis.
Yeah, but you follow a pattern which is consistent.
Then at the end of it,
whatever you are doing for each chapter, you do it for all the chapters.
Thank you, Jesse.
It should be consistent.
You
cannot say chapter 1, I will treat it differently from other chapters. Nakula Sugosham Nama Shankam Dadmam Sahadevo Manipushpakam Nama. Nakula blew the conch named Sughosha, Sahadeva the conch named Manipushpaka. Kashyaha Kashirajaha Katham Bhutaha Paramaha Shreshtaha Ishwasaha Dhanuhu Yasyasaha. Kashya was the king of Kashi. How was he? He was one whose bow was great or superior. He Prithvipate, He Dhritarashtra, O Lord of the Earth, means O Dhritarashtra. Sacha Shankhanam Nadas, Padiyanam Mahabhayam Janayamasa Ityaha. And the noise of these conches caused great fear to your sons. Your sons means Dhritarashtra's sons. This is what the text says. The text beginning 19 says, Dhartarashtranam Tvadiyanam Hridayani Vidharitavan Kim Kurvan Navasya Prithivim Chaiva Tumulaha Vyanunadayan Pratidvani Bhihi Apurayan. It rent the hearts of Dhritarashtras, that is your sons. How? By making the heaven and earth resound, that is, by filling them with its reverberations through echoes. Etasmin samaye Shri Krishnam Arjunaha Vigyapayamasa Ityaha Atha Iti Chaturbhihi. At that moment, Arjuna spoke to Shri Krishna. This is being related in four verses beginning with Atha. Vyavasthitan Yuddha Udyogena Sthitan. Arjuna is talking about the arrayed soldiers. Arrayed means marshalled. Kapidhvajaha Arjunaha. The monkey bannered.
It's different between Kapi and Vanara.
Maybe the same. Looks like they are the same.
Prabhupada often uses the expression monkey. Somebody told me that monkey is not an appropriate.
No, but Prabhupada also makes it clear. Sometimes he calls them monkeys, sometimes he calls them monkey-like species. You have to consolidate all of Prabhupada's descriptions of.
No, I'm not saying that. I heard that one kind of comment.
No, but Prabhupada is like, for instance, Jambavan. Is he a monkey? Is he a bear? Is he a gorilla? What is he? He has all these aspects. And Prabhupada has described him in all these ways because he has all these aspects.
No, because here Kapi itself is used. So Kapi means monkey only, right?
Conventionally, Vanara means a monkey.
Is it?
Yeah. Conventionally, Vanara means a monkey. Conventionally, Kapi also means a monkey only. Monkey banner means Arjuna. Taddeva Vakyamaha. Those very words of Arjuna to Rishikesha are being given here in the text beginning. Hey Achyuta, Senayor. Nanu Tvam Yodha Na Yuddha Prekshakaha Tatraha Kaihi Iti. But then you are a fighter and not a witness of the fight. So what is the use of keeping the chariot like that?
Who's talking to
whom? This is Arjuna anticipating Lord Krishna's thoughts. That Lord Krishna, he anticipates that Krishna might be thinking that you're a fighter, you're not a witness of the fight. So what is the use of just keeping the chariot between the two armies so that you can watch what is going on? So in response to that, the text says, Arjuna says, with whom I shall have to fight? Kai sahamaya yodhavyam. I need to know with whom I shall have to fight. Therefore I am saying, place it between the two armies. Dhritarashtrasya Duryodhanasya Priyam Kartum Ichchantaha Yaha Iha Ye Iha Samagataha Tan Yavad Rakshyami Tavad Uhayoho Senayor Madhye Me Ratham Sthapaya Ityanvayaha. Place my chariot between the two armies while I see those who are gathered here, meaning while I see those who are desirous of doing what is agreeable to Duryodhana, the son of Dhritarashtra. This is the construction. This is how the words have to be arranged in order to understand its meaning. Tatah kim vrittam iti apekshayam. What happened after that? Anticipating this, to answer this, the text says, eva mukta gudaka nidra tasyaha ishena jitanidrena arjunena evam uktaha. Son, he Bharata, Dhritarashtra, Senayor Madhye, Sthanam Uttamam, Rathanam Uttamam, Ratham, Rishikeshaha, Sthapitavan. Being thus spoken to by the master of sleep, that is Gudakesha, that is Arjuna who had controlled sleep, or descendant of Bharata, refers to Dhritarashtra. He, meaning Shri Krishna, placing the chariot in front of Bhishma, Drona and all the kings said, see, O son of Pritha, these gurus, Bhishma, Drona, Yor, Mahikshitanam, Ragyam, Cha, Pramukthaha, Samukhe, Ratham, Sthapa, Yitva, He, Partha, Etan, Kurun, Pashya, Ityovacha. Tatah kim pravrittam ityataha tatra pashyat iti sardhena. What happened after that? To answer this, the text says in a verse and a half, tatra pashyat, and so on. Pitrin, pitruvyadin ityartha, putran, pautran iti. Duryodhanadinam ye putraha pautraha cha tan ityartha sakhin mitrani suhrudaha krita upakarams cha apashyat. He saw fathers, means uncles. He saw sons and grandsons, means he saw the sons and grandsons of Duryodhana and others. He saw associates, meaning friends, and well-wishers, meaning those who had done some favor. Tatah kim kritavan ityataha. What did Arjuna do then? In answer to this, the text says, tan samikshya avishtaha vyaptaha yuktaha vishidan visheshena sidan avasadam glanim labhamanaha. Overcome, he was overcome. Arjuna was overcome, means smitten with or possessed of. Vishidan, Vishidan means greatly despondent or feeling downhearted. Kim abravid ityapekshayamaha drishtve mam ityadi yavad adhyaya samaptim. Anticipating the question, what did he, meaning Arjuna, say? The text describes it from this verse till the end of the chapter. Hey Krishna, yodhum ichchantam puratah samyak avasthitam imam bandhut janam drishtva madiyani gatrani karak charanadini sidanti vishiryante kimcha mukham pari samantar shushyati nirdravi bhavati. O Krishna, seeing these kinsmen well stationed in front with a view to fighting, my limbs, meaning hands, feet, etc., fail, meaning give way. Moreover, my mouth is parched up, meaning completely dried. Kimcha, furthermore, vebatuhu kampaha, romaharshaha, romanchaha, sramsate nipatati, paridahyate, sarvatah santapyate. Quivers means trembles, the body quivers. Horripilation refers to bristling of the hair. Slips. The Gandiva slips means it falls down. My skin is burning. Is burning means is scorched all over. Anyacha. Further, nacha shaknomi. Viparitani nimittani anishta suchakani shakunani vashyami. I see adverse omens, that is, portents which forebode evil. Kimcha, moreover, Svajanam ahave yuddhe hatvashayah palam na pashyami vijayadikam palam kim na pashyasi idiche tatrahana kankshe iti. Moreover, I see no good. I do not see any good that would result from killing kinsmen in battle. It may be urged, don't you see that it would lead to victory and so on? To answer this, the text says, I do not desire, etc. Etadeva prapanchayati kimna hiti sardhabhyam. This is being expanded in a verse and a half, beginning with kimno rajyena. Actually, he is saying in two verses and a half. This is the wrong translation. Up to the end of verse 33 is correct. Up to the end of the verse 34 in this reading. Two and a half verses. Yadartham asmakam rajyadikam apekshitam taete pranadhanani tyaktva tyagam angikritya yuddhartham avasthitaha ataha kim asmakam rajyadibhi krityam ityarthaha. They for whose sake we desire sovereignty, etc., are gathered for fight, giving up their lives and wealth, etc., undergoing such sacrifice. Giving up their lives and wealth means undergoing such sacrifice. Therefore, of what use will sovereignty and so on be to us? This is the meaning. Nanu yadi kripaya tvam etan na hamsi tarhi tvam ete rajalobhena hanishyantyeva atastvam eva etan hatva rajyam bhunkshva tatraha etan iti sardhena. It may be urged, if you do not kill them for pity, then they out of greed for the kingdom will surely kill you. Therefore, you better slay them and enjoy the sovereignty. This the text answers by a verse and a half beginning with nakankshe. Now, etan na hantum icchami. Yes. Natopyasman ghatayatopi etams trailokya rajyasyapi hetos tat praptyartham apyaham hantum na icchami kim punar mahi matra praptyartham iti artha. Even if they should kill us, I do not like to kill them. Even for attaining the sovereignty of the three worlds, much less for gaining just this earth. Nanucha agnido garadashchaiva shastrapani dhanapaha kshetradarapaha hartacha shaddaite hyatatayinaha iti smarana. This is from Vasishta Smriti 3.19. Agni dattvadibhish shadbhirrapi hetubhir ete tavad atatayinaha atatayinam cha vadaha yuktaha eva atatayinam ayantam hanyadeva vicharayan natatayiv vadhe dosho hantur bhavati kashchana. This is from Manusmriti. Iti vachanat tatraha sardhena. It may be urged, the Smriti declares, those who commit arson, administer poison, attack with weapons, take away one's wealth or lands or wives, these six classes of persons are aggressors, and these, meaning the Kauravas, are aggressors, having committed all the six offences beginning with arson. The slaying of aggressors is quite justifiable according to the text. This is the Manusamhita text. One should kill without hesitation an aggressor that approaches with criminal intention. The slayer of an aggressor incurs no sin whatsoever. This is being answered by a verse and a half beginning with the words, Papameva Shreyed. Atatayanam ayantam nityadikam arthashastram hi dharmashastra durbalam yathoktam yagyavalkyena smrityor virodhi nyayastu balavan yavaharataha arthashastratu balavad dharmashastram mitistitihi. That's from Yagyavalkya Smriti. तस्माद् आतत्तायी नाम अपि एतेषाम् आचार्यादीनां वधे अस्माकं पापमेव भवेत् अन्यायत्वात् अधर्मत्वात् च एतद्वधस्य न च इह सुखं स्यात् इत्याह स्वजनं हि इति the text one should not kill etc. This is the original Vasishtha Smriti text, belongs to what is called an Arthashastra, that is a scripture dealing with wealth, which is less authoritative than a Dharma Shastra, which is a scripture dealing with virtue. As it is said by Yagyavalkya and Yagyavalkya Smriti, when two Smritis differ, the one that is more reasonable is the stronger according to convention, and a Dharma Shastra is more powerful than an Arthashastra. This is the usage. Therefore, by the slaying of preceptors and so on, though they are aggressors, we shall incur sin alone, because such slaying is unwarranted and unrighteous. There can also be no happiness from this. This is being stated. How can we be happy by killing? Yeah. How can we indeed be happy, O Madhava, by killing our own people? ननु तव एतेषामपि बन्धुवधदोषे समाने सति यथा एव एते बन्धुवधदोषम् अङ्गीकृत्य युद्धे प्रवर्तन्ते तथा एव भवान् अपि प्रवर्ततां किम् अनेन विषादेन इत्यतः द्वाभ्याम् इट् मे बि अर्ज्ड् द एम् आफ् स्लेयिङ्ग् किन्स्मन् इस् कामन् टु बोत् योर् केस् एण्ड् देयर्स् Yet even as they, accepting such a contingency, are inclined to fight, so you too better engage yourself in battle. What is the use of this despondency? This is answered by the two verses beginning with Yadyapyete. Rajyalobhena upahatam bhrashtavivekam chetaha yeshante ete duryodhanadayaha yadyapi dosham na pashyanti tathapi asmabhihi dosham prapashyadbhihi अस्मात् पापात् निवर्तितुं कथं न ज्ञेयं निवृत्तौ एव बुद्धिः कर्तव्या इत्यर्थः ऑल्दो दीस् मीनिङ्ग् दुर्योधन एण्ड् अदर्स् सी नो ईविल् विद् देयर् माइण्ड्स् ओवर्कम् मीनिङ्ग् डिप्राइव्ड् आफ् द पवर् आफ् डिस्क्रिमिनेशन् बै द ग्रीड् आफ् सोवरेन्टी वै शुड् वी हू सी द ईविल् आफ् इट् मीनिङ्ग् हू व्यू इट्स् सिन्फुल्नेस् not learn to desist from this sin, that is to say, we should resolve not to do this. Tammeva dosham darshayati. That very sin is being shown in the two verses beginning with Kulakshaye. Sanatanaha parampara praptaha uta api kritsnam api avashishtak kulam adharmaha abhibhavati vyapnoti. Time-honored means handed down from generation to generation. He is talking about the Kula Dharmas, which are Sanatana Dharmas, time-honored. He is talking of this. With the destruction of the family, the time-honored family traditions are lost, and when the traditions are lost, unrighteousness overtakes the whole family.
What is the word for tradition?
Dharma. Time-honored, he is using this to refer to Sanatana, Kula Dharma Sanatana. Unrighteousness overtakes, means pervades the whole of the surviving family. Tatahacha, and from that, Adharma Vibhavaditi. Then what happens next is stated in the next text, text 41. Evam cha sati, and then when this happens, esham kulaghnanam pitraha patanti hi yasmat lupta pindodaka kriya esham te. What happens next is stated in the next text, that is 42. their ancestors, the ancestors of these destroyers of the family, fall from heaven, for they are deprived of the offerings of funeral cakes and drink. Uktam dosham upasamharati doshaihi iti dvabhyam. The sinfulness referred to is being concluded in the two verses beginning with doshair etair. Utsadhyante, lupyante, jati dharma, varna dharma, kula dharma cha, chakarad, ashrama dharma dayaha api grihyante. The traditions of the varna and the family are destroyed, means they are lost.
What is
kula dharma? Kula dharma, duties of families. You have to serve your mother, father, you have to... So many things. So many things need to be done. Apart from that, in the varnashrama system, as much as possible, they don't want their children to fall down to a lower varna. So it is a kula dharma to give them the opportunity to always be up to standard and not degrade into lower varnas or into sinful life. The text says the long-standing traditions of the caste, the family, etc. are destroyed. That etc. includes duties of the various orders of life, the ashramas, and so on. Brahmacharya, garhasthya, vanaprastha, sannyas, and so on. Utsanna kuladharma yesham te tatha tesham. Utsanna kuladharmanam ityutsanna jati dharma dinam api upalakshanam. Anushushrama shrutavanto vayam prayaschittam akurvana papeshun niratan nara apashyat tapina kashtan nirayan yanti darunan from Yagyavalki Smriti ityadi vachanebhyaha. Persons whose family traditions are destroyed, this phrase implies also those whose varna traditions and other traditions are lost also. We have heard from such texts as this, those who are addicted to vice and perform no prayaschitta nor feel repentant for it, go to terrible hells full of misery. I just remembered that in Mathuriya Kadambini, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he says, while discussing Namaparad, he says the attitude of the person is also a consideration. If the person is not repentant and he engages knowingly in sinful activities and forbidden activities while chanting the holy names, then actually he will be punished double. And he gives as an example the arrangement made in Dharma Shastras. If one performs sinful activities, if you do prayaschitta, you will not go to hell. That is a normal arrangement. So when Arjuna is saying here that persons whose family traditions are destroyed are doomed to live perpetually in hell, thus we have heard, he is talking about people who do not do prayaschitta. Because those who do prayaschitta with a repentful attitude, they will not go to hell, even if they have committed sinful activities. You understand? So, in Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that even in the Dharma Shastra, there is an arrangement. If a person thinks that I have committed so many sinful activities, if I do prayaschitta, I will not go to hell. So therefore, in the future, let me do more and more sinful activities and I will counter it with the prayaschitta. If one does it with that attitude, then the prayaschitta will have no effect. In fact, one is given double punishment. So attitude is something important. This is the Yagyavalkya Smriti text. Those who are addicted to vice and perform no prayaschitta atonement, nor feel repentant for it, go to terrible hells full of misery. Bandhu vada vyavasayena santapyamanaha aha. Arjuna, who was grieved at their determination to kill their kinsmen, said, text 45, svajanam hantum udyataha iti yataha etan mahat papam kartum adhyavasayam kritavantaha vayam aho bata kashtam mityartha. that we are ready to kill our kinsman is a heinous sin which we are resolved to commit. Alas, what a pity. Evam santaptaha san mrityum eva ashasanaha aha. Grieving thus and welcoming death, Arjuna said, text 46, akritta pratikaram tushnim upavishtam mam yadi hanishyanti tarhi tadhananam mama kshemattaram atyantam hitam bhavet papa anishpattehe. If they should slay me unresisting, that is, if they should slay me while I am unresisting, meaning if while I am sitting quiet, then that slaying would be better, extremely good for me, since it would ward off sin. No, it is not just that. Papa anishpatte, because it would not be sinful on my part. That's what he is saying. I would not be engaging in sinful activities. They are doing sinful activities, I am not doing sinful activities. Tatah kim vrittam iti apekshayam. Anticipating a question, what happened afterwards? Text 47 is spoken. Sankhye sangrame rathopaste rathasya upari upavisha upavishad upavivesha shokena samvignam prakampitam manasam chittam yasya saha. He whose mind was stricken, agitated with grief, sat down on the chariot in that battle.
Who's anticipating the question, Arjuna?
Sanjaya, for text 47, it is Sanjaya.
Oh, okay. Sanjaya.
Sanjaya is anticipating that Dhritarashtra would ask this question. He sat down on the chariot in that battle. This is Sridhar Swami's commentary. Okay, we'll stop with that. Okay?